go to the book of Philemon, right before the book of Hebrews, right after 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Titus, Philemon. It's one chapter. We'll read verses 10 through verse number 19 this evening. Philemon, we'll read verses 10 through verse number 19 responsively. I'll read verse number 10, and you'll join me on verse number 11. We'll alternate like that all the way through verse number 19. Philemon, chapter number 1. Begin reading in verse number 10. Ready? I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore as a partner, receive me as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto even thine own self besides. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Lord, thank you for the truths that are in its pages. Lord, thank you for its uniqueness and how it applies to each and every individual, Lord, no matter where we're at in our life. Lord, this evening, I truly believe, Lord, as the man of God preaches your word, Lord, there's something for all of us. Lord, may we be willing to set ourselves aside. Lord, will we allow our pride to not hinder our ability to learn something from the word of God. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us, please. You promised us that your word would not return void. So as we yield ourselves to your Holy Spirit this evening, please, would you speak to us? We'd ask that you'd encourage, that you would strengthen. Lord, we'll ask all these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated.
God gives us one of the most important truths of the Bible in one of the shortest books of the Bible. The book of Philemon is not a book that you hear a whole lot of sermons out of. Many of you didn't even know it was in there, or you didn't know how to say it. Philemon, something like that. But it's a book not often used by many. But today I want to unlock a great truth that God has for us here in the book of Philemon. Let me say this. I don't plan on it being boisterous or loud. I'm not going to be ripping face or anything like that. I'm just going to kind of teach a little bit tonight. But don't take the lack of what you would call excitement away from the truth. I want to help you. Here in Philemon, Paul is in prison. And when Paul was in prison, God came to him and he's penning these words. And these words were actually sent to a wealthy businessman named Philemon. If you look at verse number 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. So these words were written to be sent to a man named Philemon. He was a Christian businessman, a wealthy man. And Paul and Philemon were used to start a church in the city of Colossae. Look at verse number 2. And to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, to the church in thy house. Started a church in somebody's house. I've preached in Mexico in people's houses. I've preached in America in churches that were started in people's houses. You name it, we've done it. Philemon was not a preacher, though. Philemon was a solid Christian businessman, just a layperson that God had used to help the Apostle Paul and help a church. While in jail, Paul is talking to a fellow prisoner and ends up winning this man to Christ. His name was Onesimus. Aren't you glad we don't have names like that these days? Archippus and Onesimus and, you know, Jehoshaphat and all the other fat fellas and, you know, all those kind of things. Paul discovers that Onesimus was one of Philemon's workers at one time. And the reason he's in jail is because Onesimus stole from Philemon. Uh-oh. It's interesting how that life, if you've lived long enough, it's amazing how some of the circles of life come back around. One of Brother Juan's friends went out soul winning with us yesterday. Well, I found out that he had gotten saved under Brother Hiles while I was there at Bible College, and he was in the Salem ministry there. 35 years later, we meet up. You know, one long circle. Brother Greg was there back in the 70s. Same thing. And how long these circles come back around. So Paul leads Onesimus to Christ. In the process, finds out that Onesimus used to work for Philemon, but he's in jail for stealing something from Philemon. Everybody got that straight? All right, here we go. He obviously had gotten caught. That's why he was in jail. And Paul was not in prison for doing wrong. He was in prison for preaching. Now, God has Paul pen these words to Philemon. God tells Philemon that Onesimus has gotten saved. He also says, listen to this, he also says he wants him to hire Philemon back, or Onesimus back. Ooh. He wants him to forgive him of all that he owed, and if for some reason he doesn't want to forgive him of the debt, put it on Paul's tab and Paul will pay it back. But that he wants him to bring Onesimus back, and later it says, I don't want you to even bring him back as a hired servant, I want you to bring him back as a friend. Wow. Now, if you look at it a little further, it says, Paul says, I want you to receive him back as though you're receiving me. That's a whole different ballgame. There are certain folks who'll come to me and say, preacher, I need help in this area. And I'll say, look, go see this person and you tell them I sent you. Maybe it's a mechanic or this area or that area. And I'll just say, you go here, you tell them I sent you, and they'll take care of you. And sure enough, people go and they'll say, and you say, why? Because I try to build good business relations with people. And I know who to trust and who not to trust. Now, wait a minute. How'd you like to be Philemon? Philemon has a pretty bitter pill to swallow, doesn't he? He's got to take someone who stole from him, been in prison for stealing from him, hire him back, forgive him his debt, or put it on the preacher's tab. And not only hire him back, but trust him as not just a servant, but as a friend. I'm sure Philemon was rich enough to absorb whatever loss was there. The loss was not the issue. He had to humble himself enough to do what God wanted him to do. Now, this goes against every bit of financial business sense. It doesn't make sense if somebody steals from you to hire him back. But God wanted Philemon to learn that money and possessions is not everything involved in success. Sometimes success is doing what God wants, and it doesn't make sense to the world. Philemon needed to learn humility that God requires for God's work and God's will to work appropriately. Everybody look at me for a moment. Printed on our sign, on every gospel track we have, you've heard me say it hundreds of times from behind this pulpit, this church is a hospital, not a museum. Guess what? Well people don't go to the hospital. Sick people do. That means people are going to walk in and they're not going to be perfect like you. Ha 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 ha. You might find people that you know from your past. Guess what? They deserve a good future. Did you know that just because somebody has a bad past doesn't make them bad forever? Well, they did me wrong, but don't you think they've done good to other people too? So if we're truly going to be a hospital and not a museum, by the way, what is a museum? A museum is what you display what was, not what is. A hospital takes care of what is, not what was. So we are to be a hospital, opening our doors to those that are hurt and sick by sin. Aren't you glad the doors are open for you and me? We're all sinners. Who are we to compare dirt with dirt? I've said it a lot lately. What makes it okay for me to say my dirt's cleaner than your dirt? Dirt's still dirt. Brother Juan, your dirt's darker than my dirt, but dirt's still dirt. Who cares? Who gives a rip about dirt and dirt? We're all dirt. We're all water and dirt. Big mud puddles, here we go. Now, let me say this. God's business is different than man's business. Thank God for the men on our board at Grace Baptist Church. They're good men. Many of them very successful in business. But they've learned to trust their preacher in the fact that church business doesn't run like the world's business. Church truly is a non-profit. You ought to try to get a church loan. It took me 13 banks. Say why? Because the world says you have to show profit even though you're a non-profit. Doesn't make much sense, does it? Then if somebody hands the church a $25,000 check, they say, well, we can't count that towards your income because that's not regular giving. Wait a minute, everything I have that's been given to this church has been voluntary giving. Does it matter if it was once or if it was over the period of 12 months? Man, did I fight. I scratched and clawed and bit and poked and battled and finally got our loan, amen? Can I tell you something? God's business doesn't run like the world's business. Sometimes we eke it out. Sometimes we get a little extra. Say, what do you do with it? We hold on to it for when things aren't so good. But you don't hear the preacher getting up, okay, we have to pass the plates again. We didn't get enough this week. No. Don't do that mess. Somebody recently told me of a church in this area that they went to. And they put the people's names on screens in the auditorium who hadn't paid enough tithes. And they were going to leave them up there till they got their back tithes paid. Well, it'd be a cold day where the booger man lives before we ever do that mess here. And if I'm dead and buried somewhere, I'm going to come back and knock the building down if somebody does that. That's a mess. God's business is eternal, and it's not all about temporary profit. Everybody doing okay? God's economy is different from ours. We tend to only see money and things and goods as economy, but God looks at lives as economy. God is looking at people's life as the economy, not how much came in the offering plate. You look through the scriptures, do you know whose offering rang louder than anybody else's? A little widow lady that gave two mites, about a half a penny. She gave all she had. There was rich people that gave far more, but it was how much you have left after you've given that counts. She gave everything. This is, by the way, I'm not asking you to do that. That's not the point of it, but isn't it amazing? God used a poor little old lady who only had a half a penny to give, and she gave it, and God said she'd given more than most people because she had nothing left after she gave. God was not judging Philemon, but he believed Philemon was ready to take another step in the Christian life. The book of Philemon is not a book of judgment. It was a book of Philemon. God's asking you to step up and step above what the average Christian does, and you're going to have to humble yourself to do so, to accept Onesimus back, forgive him the debt, and bring him back on board, not even just as a servant, but as a friend. Forgive me for saying it this way. Welcome to big boy and big girl Christianity. The more you move up in the Christian life, the more you push yourself down. The way up in the Christian life is down. And the way down is to lift yourself up. You have to be humble to be used of God to go forward. Too many people are looking for a position. They're looking for that opportunity to shine. God's looking for somebody who doesn't care who sees them. They just want to get the job done. They don't want their name mentioned. They just want to get the job done. God is teaching us several things that I want you to see tonight. We'll be done quickly here. Number one, God wants us to learn to forgive. Do you know what bitterness is? Bitterness is the lack of forgiveness. Bitterness is when you don't forgive someone for wronging you. Now, listen to this statement. Do you know what the word forgive means? It means to give before the offense. Forgiveness means if Brother Lopez is going to do wrong to me, I have already, before he's done wrong, decided I would forgive him, even though he'll do me wrong. So that when the wrong comes, I say, it's okay. Say why? Forgiveness is not for the person who did wrong. It's for the person who is wronged. God forgives us. Did he do wrong? So forgiveness is not for the person that did wrong. My forgiveness for Joe would not be because he did wrong to me, and it's not for him. It's for me so that I don't get bitter. Forgiveness is for the person who has been wronged, not for the person who did wrong. Boy, that's a good statement. God's forgiveness of our sin is for his sake, not just our sake. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? He wants us back. He doesn't want to be bitter with us. He doesn't want us to die and go to hell. So he says, I'll forgive you even before you sin. Thank God for that. God forgives us so that he can bless us and not be bitter with us. Look how many times you've sinned against God. Isn't it amazing he hadn't killed you yet? I know it's a miracle he hadn't killed me. And there's times I'm thinking, there's been times when he said, you almost did it and I didn't want you yet. God wanted Philemon to learn to forgive Onesimus. And it wasn't based on Onesimus deserving it. Well, they don't have a good attitude. I'm not going to forgive them. Oh, your attitude's real good too, isn't it? Who do you think has the bad attitude right now? You see, forgiveness is not based on the wrongdoer's attitude. It's based on your attitude. It's based on Philemon doing it as a Christian by character, not because Onesimus, sitting in jail, deserves to be forgiven. Do you want to move up in the Christian life? You're going to have to move down and humble yourself and forgive people when they do you wrong. And not run your mouth and tell everybody what wrong they did. But did you know what so-and-so did to me? No, and I don't care. Don't tell me. I'll shut you down in a hurry. That's called gossip. And this altar is long enough for your tongue. And if not, we'll open that door and you can roll it right out onto the yard over, out there. I won't listen to it. You can complain to God and lift yourself up and think you're something, but just remember the person you're bitter against is dirt too. And you're no better. You're a sinner. If God, who is sinless, can forgive us all of our sin and all of us sinners, how much more should we sinners forgive each other? Everybody look at me for a second. I'll guarantee, in a crowd this size, there are people here, somebody in this room is bitter with somebody. I'll guarantee it. There are people in this room, you're bitter with yourself and you've never forgiven yourself. How about you forgive yourself? Quit bringing up your past, forgive yourself for yourself's sake. Well, I just can't get over it. No, you don't want to get over it because you keep thinking about it. You have never forgiven yourself for something in your life. It's about time you come to the altar, find forgiveness, forgive yourself, wash your hands, and walk away from it. Everybody doing okay? God wants you to forgive, even yourself. So Philemon needed to learn forgiveness. Secondly, forgiveness is more than words or attitudes. This is where we're going to bring it down to where the rubber meets the road. Forgiveness is more than words or attitude. Look at Philemon verse 17. If thou count me therefore as a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. God wanted Philemon to accept Onesimus back and treat him as he would treat the Apostle Paul. If I said, Jesus is coming to town and I want him to go to your house for dinner next Sunday, how would you treat him? Let me ask you a question. Some person walks through that door that's done you wrong. You're supposed to receive him like you would Jesus. Yes, sir. Folks, I'm not perfect. No nail prints. I don't like having enemies, though I have them. But I've seen God win some of my enemies back to where they're my friends again. I've had enemies walk through that door. I've walked back, shaken their hand. They've sat here. You've greeted them as visitors. Did not even know they were my enemy. You loved on them. They walked away in tears saying, I can't believe that. And they got right because of it. I forgave them a long time ago. But I wonder, how about you? Everybody doing okay? Onesimus needed a chance to prove himself. And Philemon was obligated by God to allow him to have that opportunity. Now we're going to get personal. That's where some of these situations where you can't get along with somebody from your past, whether it's a divorce situation or somebody in your family or step family or whatever, and you can't get along with them, you need to get right with God. I didn't say everybody's easy to get along with, trust me. But for you to be angry and bitter with them, you've not forgiven. Forgive. That doesn't mean you have to invite them out to dinner once a week. And no, you know, a rattlesnake bites you, you can forgive it, but it doesn't mean you pick it back up. I can forgive that thing, but I'm not going to touch it again. All right? I find nowhere that God tells Philemon to make Onesimus be shamed for his wrongdoing. Read through the book of Philemon, you'll not find him say, okay, take him to church, stand him in front of the church and tell the church all the bad things that he did to you, and then you can forgive him. No. That's wicked as a stinking devil. Again, going to be a cold day where the Booker man lives before we do that here. No. Well, you're just trying to cover up somebody's sin. I don't have to cover it up. It's already been covered up by the blood of Jesus Christ. Who are you to lift the blood off to so that everybody can see somebody else's sin? Before you judge them and you have to forgive them like El Papa, how about we trot you up here and let you tell everybody what wrong you've done? See, preacher, I don't... You'd be surprised who walks through that door. I'll tell the story. I was there when it happened. Brother Hiles was preaching one Sunday morning. And this lady walked the aisle. And it didn't take but that long to find out what her profession was. She had been used to walking the streets. And Sandy got saved and baptized that day. She met with Brother Hiles. She was a prostitute. Yeah, Sandy... Ended up the next Sunday, she brought, I think, 13 men down the aisle to get saved. She went back to her customers. As they came back to her, she went them to Christ. invite them to church, bring them to church, and walk them down the aisle. That lady had more people saved than some Christians who have never done what you call a bad sin. And she was a prostitute. Can I tell you something? Just because somebody has a bad past doesn't mean God can't use them. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Just back to the left a few pages here. Galatians chapter 6. Work better if I was in the right. I'm reading this thing thinking it's not right, but I was in the book of Ephesians thinking something's not right here. Galatians, there we go. That's the right verses. Look at verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Can I tell you something? There are people who visited our church and they say, well, I know somebody in our church and they're a hypocrite. I'd say, which one? All of us are, aren't we? None of us are as good as we think we are. You don't have to be perfect to come to church. Matter of fact, if that's the case, there would only ever have been one person in church, and that's Jesus Christ. Who are we to judge somebody else? Because of if you're spiritual, the Bible says you'll restore somebody, not kick them when they're down. Not criticize them because they're not like you. You sound like the Pharisees in the Bible. If you walked out in the rain, you'd drown because your nose is stuck so far in the air. Spiritual people restore or put people back to the original shape. Isn't that what restore means? You take something that's broken and put it back to its original shape. Our job as a church is to take people who are broken and make what we can out of them and help them and make them as useful as possible and as close to what God wanted them to be. Isn't that what restore means? We're not to look at ourselves above being a sinner. Guess what? We're all sinners. It takes humility to forgive and restore someone because you have to battle your flesh that doesn't want to do it. Please don't take this the wrong way. I've been preaching for 40 years. I've been in full-time service for over 32 years. I know a little bit about the Bible. I've preached and watched people walk out, do exactly opposite of what I preach, and come back and say, preacher, I need help. And I'm thinking, didn't you hear one thing I said? There are days I want to say, no, that's my flesh. There are days I want to say, didn't you listen to anything I said? But I don't say those things. I say, let me help you. I have to humble myself so I don't push you away so that we can restore you. By the way, I'm not perfect either. Just because I think those things doesn't make me a sinner. I was a sinner long before I thought those things. Everybody doing okay? It takes humility to forgive and restore someone because you have to battle your flesh to do it. Years ago, I was walking into a store, and a man who had attacked me and attacked our church was there with his wife. I preach pretty strong. I preach pretty bold. But Brother Josh, you know this. I don't like confrontation. I know that surprises you, but I don't like it. I saw them. I thought, I'm just going to go this way. And I got about 10 steps out of view, and the Holy Spirit said, but I wanted you to talk to him. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. All right. I walk back over to him. I walked up and I called him by name. They turned around and looked at me. I thought, well, it's either duck or pucker. Here it comes. And I reached out my hand. That man reached his hand out, grabbed a hold of my hand, pulled me to him, put his arm around me, and began to weep. And I said, my friend, I love you. He pushed back and he looked at me. His wife is sobbing. He said, Brother Bush, could you ever forgive me? I said, forgive you for what? Oh, remember years ago? I said, don't remember. I said, that was taken care of years ago. It was forgiven then. Don't worry about it. We talked for a moment. I said, Doc, I said, do you have a need? I said, you look like you're heavy-hearted. By this time, the Lord had gotten a hold of me, and I was whooped, let me tell you. His wife began to her shoulders began to heave. He said, yeah, one of our children had a child born and has a lot of problems. I said, I'm so sorry. I put my arms on both of their shoulders, and I stood there in the middle of the store praying for their grandchild. Well, by the way, that man and I have seen each other dozens of times since. It's always friendly. He's not my enemy. I was never his enemy. He just got cross for a while, but guess what? Restored. Matter of fact, not long ago, I asked him to help me with something, and he did. Say, you'd ask somebody that once hated you? Isn't that the scripture? I'm nothing. I can't tell you, there wasn't times I wanted to punch him in the nose. Just so you know, I have those fleshly feelings too. But I'm glad I listened to the Holy Spirit and not myself. So, next. God wants us to witness in all situations and find the blessings that can come. Listen to this. The Apostle Paul was in prison. He was in jail. Amen, Brother Juan? Brother Juan goes there 5 days a week at least. he's kind of like Otis. They let him out every day. Wait a minute. Paul's in prison for preaching. Paul didn't whine and complain about, oh, it's so bad. God's not fair. I don't understand why God's doing this to me. Bunch of whiny babies. No, he wasn't moping around. He wasn't depressed. He looked at somebody and said, hey, let me tell you about my friend. His name is Jesus. Began to preach to him, and that man says, boy, you sound like my former boss. Well, who's your former boss? Where are you from? Shazam, I know Philemon. Matter of fact, he got him and Onesimus and Philemon back together. All because somebody didn't care about the situation they were in. They were willing to help somebody no matter how bad the situation. Paul did not do wrong. He was in jail for preaching the gospel. Paul wins a man to Christ who's in jail. Don't let circumstances dictate your action. Don't let circumstances dictate your action. Do right no matter who you're around or what the situation is. Amen. Somebody called me and wants me to be on a, this will make you laugh, a Zoom call with Senator Manchin here coming soon. I said, sure, I'll do it. I came into the office and I asked Mrs. Barnes, what's a Zoom call? I don't even have a computer in my office. Thinking, oh Lord, I'm going to have my secretary here just to hit the right buttons on the phone, or I'll be talking to Kamala or somebody, you know? Oh my soul. I hope not. As long as it's not Pelosi. No. Can I tell you something? You say, preacher, I wouldn't be unkind. I would respect his office. By the way, maybe he just needs to hear the truth. I've witnessed to a lot of high-profile people. I witnessed a man named Tommy Lasorda. Anybody know that name? Manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers for years. One of the vilest men I've ever talked to in my life. Reverend, I don't need God. Baseball's my God. I said, well, Mr. Lasorda, you're going to fry in hell over that. I said, there is a hell. I just told him like it was. He didn't like me too well. I met Nolan Ryan. I witnessed to Nolan Ryan. Nolan Ryan got saved as a 10 or 11-year-old boy down in Texas. I witnessed to him. Some of you would know the name Julio Franco, played for the Cleveland Indians. I witnessed to Julio Franco. Met him, talked to him. Say, are you afraid? No more afraid than knocking on somebody's door. I don't know who's on the other side of that door. I've been soul winning for over 40 years. I still get this pit in my gut. Man, I hope they're not home. So you shouldn't be that way, preacher. Okay, I shouldn't be, but I am. It doesn't keep me from, though. I have those feelings. I don't like getting cussed out. I've had guns pointed in my face. I've had dogs let loose on me. I've seen everything. Trust me. You've knocked on the millions of doors I've knocked on in the many states as I've been in. Trust me, I've seen everything that can come my way. And some lady one day, she unleashed a German Shepherd on me. Right through the screen door. 4-foot fence around the front yard. I hurdled a 4-foot fence. I had cowboy boots on, just like I have tonight. I had wet marks on the back of them from kicking it in the nose while I was running. It wasn't wet marks from something else, but I kicked that thing in the nose a couple times. And I cleared that fence. Whew, let me tell you, I've had it happen. Huh. God wants us to learn it's not the circumstance that's the issue. It's us doing right in every situation we're in. Paul used his influence to help get Onesimus restored. Paul put his name on the line for someone. Let me ask you a question. What person who has done wrong that you've worked with are you willing to put your name on the line for? I can promise you this, if I send you to somebody and say, tell them I sent you, I'm putting my name on the line. But that means I trust you. It also tells that person how they're supposed to take care of you. Brother Mrs. Lopez do business with a fellow that I put him in contact with. I said, you go here, tell him I told you, take care of you like he does me. They came back and they said, as soon as he found out that we were with you, preacher, he went, okay. He wasn't going to make as much profit, but as many things as they bought from him, he's made that up more than money at one time. Now, wait a minute. By the way, Paul was willing to pay off Onesimus' debt. Years ago, there was a family in this church. They borrowed $5,000 from somebody else in this church and then left the church and left town and left that guy hanging for $5,000. I went out and took a personal loan and paid the man back. And I paid the loan off. It wasn't my debt. But it wasn't his fault either. He didn't listen to my advice. But I paid it anyway. Say why? Because I loved that man. I wasn't even really terribly upset with the family that did it other than it's just bad character. Folks, it's just money. When I die, I'm not taking it with me. Just taking it from his inheritance. listen to me and I'll finish. Ananias and his wife took in a man who had gotten saved who was a murderer. He was known for killing Christians, and his name was Saul. They brought him in, healed him up, taught him the word of God, and he becomes the Apostle Paul. Huh. He had to convince Peter, and Ananias had to convince the disciples that Paul had truly been saved so that he would go back and learn under the disciples, and they didn't want him back. Imagine somebody that was crucifying Christians and killing Christians coming here, and I say, well, they're going to preach to you tonight. That's the way it was for the Apostle Paul, but somebody had to give him a break. Wonder. Listen to the statement. I wonder if you were around when the Apostle Paul got saved, whether you would have accepted listening to him or not. How about Moses? Would you have followed him? He murdered a man. How about David? David murdered a man, committed adultery with his wife, and then murdered him. Oh, you lift David up. Would you really have followed him, though? Guess none of us are perfect, are we? One thing for sure, you're going to get humbled in life. You choose whether you humble yourself or God has to do it for you. Let me say this. If you push your own head down, it doesn't hurt near as bad as if God has to push it down. If you'll humble yourself, he will lift you up. But if he has to humble you, it's a longer trot all the way up. Just a few lessons from the book of Philemon. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.